This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We know you're uncertain about psychics. Is this fortune teller you found on a forum legit?
Your one true love is...
me!
That's why California psychics reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work with us. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. New customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. So, experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Toast the holidays in a new way and raise a glass of rum chata. A delicious creamy blend of horchata with rum. Enjoy it over ice or in your coffee. Rum chata, your holiday cocktails just got sweeter. Tap or click the banner for more. Drink responsibly. Caribbean rum with real dairy cream, natural and artificial flavors. Alcohol 13.75% by volume, 27.5 proof. Copyright 2025 Agave Logo Brands, Pewaukee, Wisconsin. All rights reserved.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
What's going on, everybody? Episode number 45 of Unkillable here. Hopefully you guys are having a good weekend. Just one of those days. You know, the truth of the matter is, for as bad as the season's been, you know, Jets fall to 3-10. There haven't been many games like this outside of the Bills game in week two. That was incredibly non-competitive. The Dallas Cowboys game, incredibly non-competitive. But you look at, when you look at some of these losses here, start with week one against the Steelers, and then I'm just kind of jumping around here. The Dolphins game where Braylon Allen fumbled at the goal line. They had 90-something yard drive, and they were running wild on the Dolphins. Like, they lost that game, but they were obviously competitive. This one, there was just not a whole lot of juice here. And I was very disappointed, obviously. You know, we've talked about this on previous pods and certainly on WFAN, WFAN for now. And I am now, and I have been latched on to the hope of winning some games here. I can no longer be a prisoner to, well, if they lose this game and this team loses and this team wins, well, now the Jets have a chance to draft this guy. I have no idea, you know, who the best quarterback from this group is going to be. I love Mendoza. I was really one of the first to tell you about Mendoza. I want to see how he does at the combine. Obviously, beating Ohio State, as he did yesterday in the Big Ten Championship, is massive. Though more of the Hoosiers playing some great defense. I love him, but I don't know about him, you know. Dante Moore, is Ty Simpson coming out. These are all things that we've touched. So I really just haven't been too wrapped up in losing, which is really counter to what I've done for so many years, because I'll give you a quick thumbnail sketch. I don't want to be repetitive. I do want to jump into a couple of games or a couple of things from the game, something on the Colts, how that impacts the Jets draft status with the Sauce trade, you know. But when I was rooting openly against the Jets, I'd say, for the better part of the last, decade. And when I say rooting against, I mean like now. I don't mean in September or October, but you just get to a point, you don't have it. You know you don't have the quarterback. You know you don't have the coach or the GM. So, at the end of the Sala or Ulbrich regime or Gase, that was very different. I wanted to accrue as many L's as possible to do what I am no longer interested in doing, and that's chasing the draft board. All right. The other thing too, and I think I'm, even if I don't know it, maybe a little subconsciously emboldened by the fact, or at least the early evidence that the Jets general manager knows what he's doing. So whether it's, taking some of the 2027 draft equity, or, you got two first round picks here, as we know, a bolt in 2026, a boltload of second round picks. However he's thinking about jumping up that board, if he's thinking about it, I've got some confidence that he's going to put the franchise in the right spot to make another smart trade. So that's kind of where I am going into the game. But still, having said that, this was still disappointing. You look up, boom, 7-0. Miami getting gash plays, 40-yard runs. I know the Jets have a lot of injuries on defense. They've traded away two of their best defensive players in Quinnen and in Gardner. They got a lot of reserves. And even when the Jets started the season, their third level, and really, really even many parts of their second level, so basically most of the defense, was comprised of young kids or, guys who or at least strongly surmise will not be around whenever the rebuild really takes root. Now, again, it's a tough Sunday to sit through. You look down and it's 14-0, then it's 21-0. Now, we got to see a little bit of Brady Cook. I mean, I was excited when I saw him trotting on the field. I feel bad for Tyrod Taylor. But, you saw some sloppy ball security. You saw a couple of horrendous picks. The one thing that really bothered me today about this team was that I thought the Jet receivers really let Cook down. It wouldn't have changed the result there, but Mitchell dropped a couple. Michi dropped a couple. Was it Ruckert? Ruckert actually had a couple of catches. I think Mason Taylor may have dropped one early that was a little bit behind him. Definitely not a great throw. I think that was Tyrod's throw too, I think. All the nonsense blends together. But you got to make that play. I mean, that's what teams who are going to play four-quarter games do. And, again, I'll at least say this. When it's 21-0 after the first quarter, I think maybe with Gase or maybe some other coaches and other recent Jet situations, the game is 40-3. Like, there's not even a pulse. Where I know the final score was not good, but don't ignore the fact that it was 24-10 in the fourth quarter. I'm not here to make excuses. I'm not here to sugarcoat this. Like, I really couldn't wait for this particular game to end. At one point, I even jumped in, to check on the Knicks Magic because I'm tired of losing to the Magic, and the Knicks did win without Cat. They played well. So, after losing the first two to Orlando, I wanted to see the Knicks do a little something at home here, which they did, now 13-1 at the Garden. But I was, this had all the makings of, just a painful watch where, listen to a couple. I'm not going to hit you with stats, but I've got to give you two that jump out. In the first half, obviously, Jets are down 24-7. In terms of fourth, it was 14-2 first down advantage, Miami. And how about this yardage? 246 to 47 total yardage. That's in the first half. Now, you want to tell me that near pick six at the goal line by the Jets? All right, you catch that, you do a somersault in the end zone, that's 7 points right there. Even if you fall down at the one, you're eventually going to score a touchdown, you think. So that's a play they could have had. I thought once this play was not even overruled, because the initial call on the play was what they stuck with, which I kind of get, but I also kind of don't. I don't want to hear it. That was backwards pass by Tua. Do not tell me otherwise. Now, even Steratore said it. You got to go with the, what it's called a certain way. It's got, what was the terminology? Overwhelming and, complete evidence or unwavering evidence. Whatever the words are, who cares at this point? But you know what I mean, where it's got to be a clear miss for them to overcall something that is very much flip of a coin. And it was kind of a flip of a coin, except that it wasn't fully a flip of the coin. I thought it was, we're talking inches, but you got to get that right. Like, that's a play you have to get right. You've got replay. We saw 3-4 different angles. The one where it was the side that, down the sideline, I'm like, that was the best read. And just like I thought initially, I thought even with the secondary and third reviews, I thought that they missed the call. What are you going to do? So you drop a pick six. You get a little screwed by the referees. What else is new? You had a couple of drops, you know. So there was also a near pick at midfield. They didn't have it, man. I just no way around it. Now, did the Colts game go fine? I got to check something. This damn game's been droning on. All right. So I want to just pop off this. Hopefully you guys can still see me. Go to Tankathon for a moment. All right. Jared, by the way, you just tell me if you guys can't see me. I think you should. So the updated loss now. Going into the game, the Colts had the 23rd pick that obviously the Jets would get in the Gardner trade. That has now jumped up two slots. All right. I'll get back to the Colts situation in a minute, which is getting better and better at the expense of Daniel Jones, which sucks. I got a lot of respect for him as a player, as a person, but it's football. You know, nobody feels sorry for you, but I actually do feel sorry for him. And now the Jets are in the sixth spot. So what's interesting here at the top of the draft board, you got Tennessee, who is 1-11, and they got whacked by the Browns. All right, high score game. I actually took the over in that game. I nailed it. And they're not taking a quarterback. Whether or not you think Cam Ward's the guy, people I've talked to, whether it's Baldinger, people in the NFL that I trust and respect, some think Cam Ward with a better situation could be really good. And maybe it's a Baker situation or a Darnold situation where the next team, they actually start to click. But Tennessee's not taking a quarterback. Not happening. The Giants are the second overall pick right now, 2-11. Giants aren't taking a quarterback. Now, obviously, Pete Carroll's Vegas, if Pete Carroll even comes back, they're awful. They're 2-10. They would absolutely run to the podium to take whomever they perceive to be the best quarterback. And it's where it gets interesting because the Saints won today. That was in Tampa. They won 24-20. They're 3-10. Washington's 3-10. Jets are 3-10. And, you know, Washington's not taking a quarterback. They've got a terrific one in Jaden Daniels. The Saints obviously would, but right now the Saints and the Jets have the same record. Saints and the Jets play each other. And, you know, I'll be honest, that might be a game where I've got to kind of change my tune a little bit here, where I've been rooting for some wins. Maybe I've got to start at least for that game. Maybe I got to change tune and I got to root for an L. Now, let me get to Indianapolis for a second. All right. You knew it right away. Achilles, devastating. He's done for the year. That's obvious. Now, the draft pick, all right, in the Gardner trade, they were 8-2. And since then, it has been Kansas City loss, Texans loss, Jaguars loss. They've lost three straight. They're 8-5. They're hemorrhaging out. They're in a bad spot. You know, I get the rookie quarterback from Notre Dame. He's a kid. So that's not going to work out. So now that they're 8-5 and have lost three straight games, listen to this. And I was on this 2 weeks ago. When they lost the Kansas City game, I'm like, okay, that's their third loss. Let me take a look at the schedule here. And I saw the Texans, a few weeks ago. And I saw the Texans and the Jaguars. And that was right when both of those teams were starting to play better football. Jags scoring more points. And the Texans defense right there with Denver, among the best in the NFL. So, you know, you go back and check my timeline. I guess it would have been 3 weeks ago at that point where I was starting to envision a possible swoon by the Colts. And, yo, here we are. All right, so here's what remains. Week 15 at Seattle, loss. Home to the Niners. I mean, even if you have Daniel Jones, I mean, I would probably say Niners would be favored 1.5, 2 points, 2.5. Without Daniel Jones, loss. And you got the Jaguars at home. You know, I know it's a divisional game. It's anything can happen, blah, blah, blah. Jags are playing well. Colts are banged up. Kind of feels like a loss to me. And then you got to go into Houston against a phenomenal defense with a rookie quarterback in all probability reeling from, at that point, it could be back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back losses. And even if they squeeze off a singular win, they're not going to regenerate to the point where they're going to offset the three straight losses they have now. Telling you right, Colts are lucky if they win once more. If they win one more game, I'll be surprised. If they win more than one, I'd be utterly stunned. If they win zero, that's what I'd bet on. I don't know what the odds are, but that's what I would bet on. So, I mean, guys, we're looking at a situation where just, you know, 3 weeks ago, the Jets had a trading partner that was 8-2, all right? There is a legitimate chance that they can finish under 500. There's a chance they could be 8-9. They're already 8-5. I just documented how I think they're going to lose at least three and probably four. So, I mean, that's huge. And then you incorporate, you know, the Saints winning today, Jets and the Saints playing, you know, the Browns would obviously, they would draft the quarterback. I mean, you got to even listen. It's funny. We haven't focused on certain teams here. I think you even have to look at Arizona. You know, I think they're going to trade Kyler Murray, who I want no part of with the New York Jets. Zero. I do not want Kyler Murray. Don't want him. Get back to that in a moment, very briefly. So I think from that point down, you know, I don't think you have to worry about anybody creeping up to a spot that would threaten the Jets and the Raiders and the Saints and the Browns as the main teams vying for a quarterback. You've got Atlanta. They got four wins. You got Cincy. Forget about Cincy. So they're pretty secure in that spot. And this makes me feel really good. I mean, it really does here. And the other thing about Kyler Murray, just to pay that off, right? So I don't know what day it was. Evan was talking about this on the radio. And, you know, it's his opinion. I get it. You know, I've had things that everybody disagrees with. I don't know why he would want Kyler Murray. And I don't think I'm misrepresenting the argument. I don't think it was Tiki who said he wanted him. I'm pretty sure it was Evan. And I'm pretty sure he was fairly adamant about it. Like, I get in the car. I hear this. I hear a snippet here. Take the kids to practice. Do this. Whatever. Snippet here. I'm almost positive that was his take. I don't want Kyler Murray. He's small. He makes a ton of money. And by the way, the Jets already have a ton of money devoted to the quarterback room, which, you know, is going to be a little problematic next year. And this is something that I've spoken about here on the pod a few times. All right. You know, not ideal when you cut. And I say when, not if, and no disrespect, but it just doesn't work. When they cut Justin Fields, I believe that's $22 million dead money, I want to say. And then Aaron's got like 30 something still because the Jets decided to break up Aaron Rodgers over two. Which, you know, that's something you can criticize Mucci and the organization for. And I think Mucci's been phenomenal. You guys know that. I've got great belief in him to maybe really be the GM to get the Jets out of this abyss. Matter of fact, I'd be willing to bet that he is the guy. I've just seen a lot of small things. And then I've seen small things, you know, whether it's making the trade with Tennessee early on or getting in, you know, some veteran run stuffers, like kind of like these ancillary moves that like Brownlee and Briggs, like that aren't going to really change things big picture, but are culture guys, right? So I saw a willingness to do that and adapt on the fly. All right, here's my roster that I inherit. Here's the finances. Let me look around the league because Denver was a team that liked to wheel and deal as well because he was in the same room with Sean Payton. And I think that some of that DNA rubbed off on him. So those are the smaller moves. And then there's the massive moves like Gardner and Quinnen. So imagine if he's predisposed to do that kind of stuff during the season. Just imagine what this man's mindset, armed with ridiculous, the best in the NFL, draft capital is going to be when he's got, you know, January, February, March, the entire combine process, the entire draft evaluation process, excuse me, to really do things that can set this franchise up for some really meaningful years. I'll tell you, the more I think about this, I'm not even close. I'm more excited about the collapse of the Colts. And again, I say that with respect to Daniel Jones. I remember the moment. I don't remember the player. It may have been Josh Allen.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Or it may have been Tua. I feel like it was a Jets-Patriots game, or a Jets-Bills or a Jets-Dolphins game from like the last couple of years, right? And I'm watching it with my son, who's 10, and at this point he was younger, so he was either 7 or 8, and I believe it was one of those two quarterbacks who went down for a second, right? Like, it wasn't head trauma, even though with two it usually is. And I don't recall if it was Josh, what it was with him. But they were down. And my son cheered, right? Not a vicious cheer, because he's 7 or 8 and he doesn't understand that. Like, the injury, I said, whoa. We never root for that stuff in this house. That's not what we're about. We don't root for injuries. I said, you're an athlete yourself, buddy. You want somebody, you know, then you're going to be down on the floor at some point, whether it's a baseball field or a football field or a basketball court. Would you want somebody saying, I hope he's not okay? No. So I coached that out of him really, really fast. And it was very easy to do that. And, you know, now he's all about that, which is awesome. But I just say all that because I really do feel terribly about Daniel Jones. But, yeah, it's what it is, man. How many people felt badly for us when Rodgers' Achilles shriveled up a couple of years ago on opening night, week one opening night? Nobody. So the pity party is, you know, it's like one thing to treat the game with respect and to root for things good in rootness and not injury, but that's where I draw my line. Yo, if this team's falling apart, tough shit. That's their problem, ain't my problem. I got enough problems. I got enough problems. Yeah. So, and I met Jones. I'll tell you this quick aside. I want to get some of the comments here. A couple other things I've jotted down. This is why I root for good people. So this would have been, let's see, he's 10. I guess this is when he was 8. We were playing in a district all-star baseball tournament. And it was the championship or the semis. It was a fairly big game. And, you know, you guys don't care about the result of the game, so I won't even waste any time on that. But we're playing the game, and, like, we were into it, you know. We wound up winning the districts, which was cool. But we're in Montville, New Jersey, on the turf field. And down on the high school field, you know, suddenly there's like a little bit of a buzz. And I'm coaching third, somebody texts me. They're like, yo, Saquon and Daniel Jones are down on the field. And this was, let me get this right. Jones had gotten paid, obviously, to the chagrin of many Giant fans. And Saquon was still without a contract at this point. All right. And he just wanted to get some work in. Was he coming off the knee injury at that point? I think he was. And he just wanted to get some, you know, obscure work in. Let me just, you know, my boy Daniel Jones, who I know and trust, let me just start to scrape away at the rust. But of course, they didn't realize, I guess, where they parked and whatever, that there was this, you know, fairly, you know, as big as an 8-year-old game could be, game going on. Long story short, before you know it, there's 20 people, then there's 30 people, then there's 50 people, then there's 100 people. Then our game finishes. Then there's another game coming up. Then we all go down there. When I tell you that Daniel Jones and Saquon were both such gentlemen, I mean, the amount of pictures of them, and they were just trying to do work. I get it. You couldn't detect an ounce of aggravation or like being interrupted from what they were trying to do. They signed pick. Like, I, Saquon actually signed my son's cleat. Son's a massive Jets fan. And he's like, Dad, what do you know? It's a Giant. What do we? I said, you know what you do? I said, you put that up in your trophy case. And because he was outgrowing the cleat, and like those, talk about a racket, rubber cleats. They basically, whether it's Under Armour, whether it's Marucci, not to, you know, take shots. I love both of those companies and we use them. But I mean, I am absolutely convinced that there is a sand dial on those rubber things. I mean, even if you're not walking on concrete, 3 months, two, they're gone. So I knew that they were done. I said, put him in your trophy case. Saquon's a beast. He's awesome. And think how well did he just treat you? So I tell you that because Daniel Jones was awesome. And I root for awesome people. But he's out. And they are going to, I mean, they're against the ropes right now. They're one more punch on them. Like the chin is like, they're just kind of like dazed. They're like Apollo versus Drago. When I don't mean Apollo when he came out dancing to start the first round and was connected. I'm talking about Apollo when he is, now Rocky should have thrown the towel a little bit earlier, but when he is just up against the ropes and Drago's got him teed up and he's like, one more money shot and it's over. And that's how I view the Colts now. I think it's over for them. I honestly don't think they finish 500. I honestly don't think they make the playoffs there. So that is going to turn into a massive, massive difference of equity. There was a point, like when that first happened, I'm sitting there saying, all right, good. Like for different reasons, Gardner can't tackle, never takes away the ball. Obviously a lot of money, just got that extension. You know, but I was starting to think by the time the Jets find their quarterback and like begin to get to a point where they ascend to, you know, the top of the AFC, theoretically, you know, is he still the same young athlete? Where is he? So anyway, I was good with the Gardner trade, as you guys know, but also understanding like when they made the trade, where the Colts were, I think they were 31st on the draft board, if I'm not mistaken. I think they were like 8-1, whatever the hell they were. So that has changed absolutely radically. All right, something else that you should know. Now, they said it during the broadcast. Is it a massive thing? No, but I think it shows some good adaptability. Tanner Engstrand, the Jets OC, first year, right? He was in Detroit, of course. And they talked about this where his experience, excuse me, I've got a little bit of a cold here. His experience this year is going to really prove invaluable. Think about how he had to prepare for the season. Think about the playbook that he prepared with Justin Fields. All right. It was run heavy and options and whatever passing routes they had out of that were pretty much derived from the run or the threat of the run. Now, you know, Tyrod Taylor can run a little bit as well, but certainly you're not going to do like designed runs like they were doing with Justin Fields, particularly early before he got concussed. So that was one element of preparation. Then it's, all right, let me adjust to Tyrod Taylor. Now it's, let me adjust just to Brady Cook. Even going back before that, I've got really three running backs. I've got Hall and I've got Braylon Allen. And even that is obviously gone because Braylon got hurt in the Miami game. You know, now he's got DK Mitchell, who didn't play very well today. He's got Michi, who didn't play very well today. But he's learned and he's had to integrate them without Garrett Wilson, which is a great thing. And I think he's also found the good way, and I love this kid. There was one play today where he caught, talking about Mason Taylor, young tight end, caught a ball in the flats, and I don't know exactly how long the game was. If I had to guess, I don't know, 13 to 17 yards, something like that. And my favorite part of the play was how he lowered his pads and initiated contact. Because I thought Mason Taylor, now, of course, his dad played in the NFL, so I never thought he would be soft, but you know, I thought he was going to be much more finesse and much more like wiggle oriented, if you will, as a receiver. He's shown a willingness to block a little bit, and I think they're found their tight end. Now, this is about Tanner Engstrand, but just illuminating that play, I love the kid. When you're a first year offensive coordinator, number one, the quarterback that you started the season with isn't even that good. You know, I mean, you've had to adapt and adjust to all the different things I just put out there. I think that this is, I mean, this is hell under fire. This is, you know, figure it out, man. And I think he's doing a decent job. I really do. I'm not saying he's some brilliant, innovative mind, but he's not overwhelmed. The Jets run game, not today. Jets run game was awful today. Couldn't get anything. It's gross. Brees Hall, I mean, there's no holes, whatever. But they've run the ball well. And you know, you've got to understand, and they talked about this the last game that they played where, pardon me, actually they talked about this during the Giants-Patriots game. They put up a stat, and the Jets were third, I want to say, in most reps taken this year by rookies. Third. They were absolutely top five. And the reason that screen was built, that stat screen was built for the Giants-Pats, is because the Patriots, Pats may have been third, were also on that list. And it was like the Titans, the Jets. I want to say the Browns, I think. I think it was the Browns. Maybe the Raiders, like four of the worst teams by far in football. Maybe, nah, was it the, may have been the Saints. Maybe the Saints instead of the Browns. But the Jets were in there. So all these things that we're watching, like there's nothing worse than riding out the string with 38-year-old Frank Gore. You're like, what the fuck are we doing here? My daughter said, yeah, I got to be quiet. Like, what the, come on. I can't watch this. What are we doing here? And this is a little different. You know, now you got a lot of young kids, some of whom are overwhelmed, particularly on defense. Some of the angles they take on defense, some of the way some of their corners and safeties, like they don't even look for the ball when they're turned around. And you know, I get it. That's, you know, that's the one thing that they say. And it's easy for me to say it sitting here in my studio at home by my home office. But like when you get beat in the NFL and somebody's got a half a step on you, and you're a young corner or safety coming over to help if you're a safety, even if you're a linebacker and you know, on a tight end or whatever it might be, or running back down the seam, you are like you panic. And when you panic, you grab, you hit, you flail, you don't look for the ball. So, you know, you need those reps to eventually get you to slow down. And, you know, this is probably a strange, not a perfect analogy, but I can certainly relate when I first started doing radio. Man, I remember how fast things were moving. I just remember how fast things were moving. And no matter how much I thought I had my content ready to go, I'm talking when I was just starting out, 1999, my first job in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I thought I was ready. You know, I thought I had, you know, I knew I had passion. That I always knew. But I thought I had everything ready to go. And, you know, here I am, my first few shows, probably my first few months, but certainly my first few shows for sure. Like, all right, that light goes on, you fire up the mic, and it's like an all-out blitz. It's hard to explain because you're trying to formulate a thought. You're also, you know, your producer's in your ear. You're trying to handle phone calls. You're looking at the clock. All right, I got 6 minutes before I break. Oof, am I running out of content here? Because I may have just, you know, I may have just thrown a Hail Mary out of the chute because I'm 23 years old and trying to figure this out on the air. So I just wasted all my good stuff. What do I do now? Your head spin. Oh, I got to read this copy going to break. Oh, wait, the copy's over here. What do I do? So the audience doesn't think that I'm not good enough and it can't handle this. Like it's fast, man. It is boom, 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 boom. And very similar to young guys in the secondary. So I don't want to overreact to that. Now, they might not be good enough to cut it. Well, as a matter of fact, I think some of them probably will not be because I've seen things that worry me, but I've also seen some things that impress me, short memories, et cetera. So they're just, they like, even though today sucked and you're down 21-0, you know, I don't really understand what the realistic expectation was today. I'll just say this too, you know, if you're a Jets fan or you follow the NFL, but really if you're a Jets fan, because I think people who follow the NFL and aren't just, you know, committed to New York or just the Jets, but they do the whole thing. I'm talking about the national people. They get it. So they're emotionless as they describe the Jets. They know they don't have anything going on right now, except maybe a coach who, you know, even today kind of kept them in the game a little bit down 21-0, which I appreciated. I was curious how that was going to go. But if you are a local, you know, host or whatever you are, commentator, bloviator, tweeter, Xer, I don't know, whatever you are. And like you're getting on the air and you're just shitting about the Jets today, like screaming for some stupid, contrived, fake, empty, pathetic rant. Honestly, you're not very good at your job. You're just not. Because that type of energy does not match the moment. You save that for a team that's utterly unprepared or a team that is fairly even in terms of talent and they get grossly outcoached or grossly out-hustled or whatever it might be, you know, some business decisions, checking out of tackles, not finishing the plays, not hustling, whatever, not alligator arms. Like, to air out the Jets today is the height of stupidity. Really, I think it's kind of been that way all year, which is why I haven't really done it too much. I did it, if you followed this podcast last year, I did it a lot last year, just because I couldn't stand the direction with Salah. You know, I was so disappointed. And then Olbrich was just even worse, amazingly. But I was so frustrated by Robert Salah, because what I thought he was going to be compared to what he actually was in terms of temperament, man, I took the bait, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, this guy comes in, he's jacked. All I know of Robert Salah, like you, before he came here, he was the DC for the Niners, who were awesome. He was absolutely jacked. You know, he was absolutely energetic on the sideline. I can still see doing it again now with the Niners, you know, in the black hoodie, you know, doing his thing, jumping out, like banging bodies with guys coming off the field. I'm like, I want it. That's the guy that I want. And then the Jets got him. And, you know, he went from looking like Tarzan to kind of coaching like Jane, you know, running the stairs. I'm like, yeah, this is the dude that we need. This is the guy. And I was very frustrated last year, even though obviously without Aaron, you know, with Rodgers. But of course, even the year before that, without Aaron, outside of the first four plays of the year, I think that I lost a little sensibility, and I was allowing my dissatisfaction with the direction of the head coach, and to a lesser extent, Joe Douglas, kind of blur and distort what I was putting out on the air. I haven't done that this year because I understand what they're doing. This is a reset, man. And, you know, the other thing, too, is you have to understand this, guys. As fans, you know, I'm carrying around 40 years of pain. Some of you are carrying around 20 years of pain. Some of you are carrying around 60, like Beningo, you know, depending upon when you started watching the Jets. I was the early 80s, right? So the pain that we have and the torture that we have suffered through and almost continue to expect. Hold on, I got to twist that. There you go. That we've come to expect here with the Jets. You know what that means to Muji and Aaron Glenn? It doesn't mean a damn thing. It means nothing. So they're never going to get wrapped up in the emotion of what it is to be a Jets fan, or the irrationality, or, you know, projecting whatever they project. So you've got to delineate between us and them. It's a clean cut. The cupboards are stacked with draft equity. And, you know, obviously they played like shit today, but I don't really know what you expected. All right, let me see if we can get a couple of things here. Might not be bad if Cook's able to finish the season. I don't disagree. Aaron spoke about that during the week. I always thought that, you know, if Tyrod was healthy, I thought you'd get a look at Cook the last 2 weeks. You know, I wouldn't want 1 week. I would want two. And, you know, ideally, we might get a couple of more. And at this point of the season, it's all about collecting some intel. Oh, let me go back to something else. Like, because, you know, when you have three wins at this point, you're 3-10. You've got to look for glimmers of hope where you find them. You know, how hard did they play? How competitive are the games? All that stuff, right? Has Aaron, from a head coaching perspective, has the coach evolved a little bit from some confusing moments early on, which I believe he has, all right? But think about, and also how did the players respond to him? And think about what he did with Quincy Williams. He benched him. And he benched him right after they shipped his brother out of town, when his emotions are at their most emotionally raw. You know, and I thought that really showed something, the way Quincy addressed it. This is going back, I guess, 5 weeks ago, something like that. Yeah, what was the deadline? November 2nd? Yeah, in that neighborhood, 4 or 5 weeks, right? So his initial response was classy, Quincy, which told me that, okay, the messaging is being received, not by everybody, but that's why not everybody's going to be back, but by a guy who played at a pretty high level, coming from obscurity, got a little bit of a contract, man, maybe got a little content, maybe checked out for a little bit, got called on it, asked to the bench, and then, ooh, rude wake-up call. How's Quincy Williams playing since? Been one of the better Jets. So those little things add up, because that tells me what's going on in the building, what's going on in the meetings, what's going on in the locker room, what's going on in the weight room, what's going on the text chain from Aaron to some of his players or all his players. This is how you build a culture. Yeah, of course, you don't want to get smoked today. But again, it's got to be about much bigger things than that. What else here? A lot of things about FAN and all that stuff. I'll get to that another day. This is a Jets pod. I got a couple of shows left on the Fan. Looking forward to it. And then we'll let you know what's going on next there. Let's see. Retire the uniforms. Yeah. I didn't love the unis. I did like the field. Although I wouldn't, rather than the like the airplane logo at midfield, I think I would rather, do I have anything here? I think I would probably rather just like a big circle with like jets in the middle. But the end zones were absolutely awesome. How do you not like the end zones? I think it was awesome. And anytime the Jets wear black, I like it. I know a lot of the like the older fans complain about it, and I'm more in that category than I'm not. I love it. Come on, are you kidding me? You should see some of the uniforms my son has. Like every time I'm like, yeah, let's go. Come on, man, church it up. I mean, who doesn't want to look good? See, I didn't have many uniform options as a kid. And, you know, like, yeah, it's green, gang green. It's not gang black or gang white. You know, it's the green and white. It's gang green. But I think the accent of black, and I think once in a while where black's the dominant color, I think it looks good. And I can promise you, more importantly, the young players, it resonates with them. So now if it's just an ugly look, like I get what they were going for today. The Gothic feel, the Gotham feel. Like, so the numbers were a little wacky, kind of like the Bucks, which I've never really liked. But the field looked pretty damn good. All right, what else we got here? Cook equals QB1. I mean, come on, let's not get nuts here. I mean, how in the world could you say that? Retire the numbers. Cook is awful. You know, I can't possibly grade. It's kind of go back to the radio analogy from when you first start. Come on. I mean, it's one thing to start a game. Like maybe if he plays this week, he's going to take all the reps in practice. I know he's been getting some in practice, but Tyrod Taylor's QB1 this week. So he was taking the lion's share of reps. I mean, come on, what do you think was going through this young kid? Say he wasn't even drafted, you know? But I remember seeing him in the summer and I liked him. Who the hell knows? I mean, you know, a lot of kids look good in the summer against kind of these benign defenses without these exotic blitzes and these DCs trying to put too much on film. I want to see him though. Let's see. I care more about the Colts losing than the Jets winning. That's fair. That's fair. No, I get it. What else? Mendoza. Yeah, he is that. Yeah, he is the deal. I Mendoza's the guy, you know. I mean, listen, let's not overstate it. He threw for 220 something yards with a touchdown. Granted, the key one against the Buckeyes, but against the Buckeyes, against a great defense. Go and look at some of the point totals Ohio State's given up this year. It's like 0, 0, 3, 6, 10. But can you imagine if Mendoza would have gone for the Hoosiers put up a 30 spot and he throws for 330? Oh, maybe then I would have reconsidered about wanting to win some of these games. Man, let's see. It's just, it's a lot of comments, but not a whole lot of things. A lot of comments, but not a lot of things I can necessarily react to. Because they're just...
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Why do you do this what? Why do you do this podcast only when you lose? Well, that's not true. No. I did the Browns game. They won. I was at the game. Left midway through the fourth quarter, got home, started the pod 10, 15 minutes after it. So I did it that game. I did not do it last week because I was in a different state at my relatives for Thanksgiving. So come on, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to bring all this equipment, you know, on a plane. If it was a more important game, would I maybe fired up Instagram Live? Yeah, probably would have done something like that. A lot of Mendoza here. Yeah, we do need another wide receiver. And that's one thing that I'm really hoping. I believe is it this week or next week? I think it's this week that Garrett Wilson is eligible to come off of injured reserve. And I want to see him out there with A.D. Mitchell and Michi and Mason Taylor. I just give me that. That's going to mean something to me. Because if Garrett's right, you know, Garrett's going to get a little double team coverage there. He's going to get that second look. And now, what is that going to do for Mitchell? I mean, right now, definitely a true X. And, you know, you're not going to double team Michi out of the slot. And I'm not even saying you could double team Mitchell. But you're going to get, rather than the best corner, you're going to get the second best corner. That's something that I want to see. And that's something that I want to see, quite frankly, with Brady Cook. Now, even if it is Tyrod Taylor, which is one of the reasons why, you know, and I was espousing for this for a while, but, you know, I was so ready to move on from Tyrod Taylor, from Justin Fields. And a lot of you and a lot of people were like, what's the damn difference? You know, Jets are going nowhere. Who cares? No, there's always the difference because you've got to be able to evaluate, you know, for next year. The more intel you can collect, the better off you're going to be in your decisions for the next year. So I just never understood anybody who said, it doesn't matter, whatever, just play Fields, gives you a better chance to win because he can run. I'm like, this passing game is completely non-existent. I got to get a sense of, you know, especially when they got the new players, I got to see some of these players I haven't really laid eyes on too frequently, plus Mason Taylor, you know, plus if there's actually a somewhat of a threat of a passing game, makes Hall's life easier in the backfield as a runner. All those things were interconnected for me, so that's why I want a Tyrod Taylor. And if he gets back healthy and Garrett's there, that's going to be good. And if not, then you chuck it around with Cook. What is this? See, I don't understand it. All the culture talk was BS. This game ruined all that for me. Lose out now. All right, well, those are kind of two different things. Losing out now, that's a fair thought because of where you are with the Saints. And okay, I got it. But I don't know why that should take away from your belief. Now, there's varying degrees of strength of belief, what you think this early Aaron Glenn Jets culture is. But, I mean, why are you going to call BS on the culture? See, to me, there's the obvious culture, and then there's the not-so-obvious culture. I'm going to push back on this. I don't agree with this at all. So when they're down 21-0, especially the way they looked en route to 21-0, 40-yard runs, the Jets had a penalty the first play of the game, couple of bad breaks where I think it was Arian Smith who raced down to the one. Pretty sure it was him. And with McNamara's, I've been telling you about him all year. He is phenomenal. He's a great punter. And there was a play early. I think it was the Dolphins' second possession. So Dolphins score, Jets three and out, Jets punt. I think it was this sequence here where he banged it. It kind of hit like the four, the three, and Smith was down in coverage. And I didn't even realize this, not the broadcast team either. He never clearly established that he was back in play with either 2 feet or a clear body part. So great play. So I'm sitting there. I'm sorry, all right, down 7-0 sucks. They look horrible so far, but you know, Miami pinned at the one. Let's go. Maybe make this a game. No, instead it comes out to the 20. They score again. They score again. And the culture there for so many Jet teams and for so many teams that don't believe in either their coach or the program or the messaging or just lack of professional element, this game's 40-6. I mean, it was 21-0 after 8 minutes, 9 minutes, whatever the hell the score. What was it? At the end of the first quarter, I think it was 21-0. But I think it was 21-0 with 8 minutes to go. Something crazy. So to me, it's a smaller element of culture. It's not so obvious. I get it. You know, culture is going on the road and just sticking it down somebody's throat. You know, a decent team showing up. And, you know, that's another step that they're going to eventually have to take, right? Although I thought they did it kind of coming back late in Tampa, though they lost that game. It's a snippet of culture. So I do not agree with that assessment. Wanting to lose out? Okay, I get that more than I did last week to an extent. But now I don't think that that's a fair read. I don't think that that's an accurate read at all. I really don't. Let's see. Yeah, no kidding. 50 years since the Jets in the Super Bowl. No kidding. I mean, some of these comments are just idiotic. Yeah, no shit. Same old Jets. No, well, that's – I'm not going to waste time on that. I can't stand that. Same old Jets. Waste my time with that. Receivers. And what is – yeah, I don't know what Lazard's doing on an NFL roster. I have no idea. I don't know why he's on the team. He's got to be a great locker room guy. I know he's a good blocker. He's got to be good in the film room because there's nothing tangible that Alan Lazard has brought to the Jets at all, let alone now, without Aaron Rodgers. I'm like befuddled why he's still here, but at least he's not on the field taking away reps from younger players. Does he have more than 5 catches on the? I don't think he does. He's not playing. Let's see. Who cares about Rodgers? See, these are things that I don't get. These cannot be Jet fans. So what is that? Sank Zappa. Rodgers is an old, toxic, washed up, vindictive dummy who throws everybody under the bus when things go wrong. He should retire. Care about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodden. I certainly don't care about him now. How is that applicable to what we're talking about? Aaron Rodgers. Stop. Gosh. I mean, if that's going to be the tone, then I'm just checking out. What did I have for lunch? I had a good one today. I didn't overindulge because I've been eating a lot this weekend. I got a good workout in today, though, so it's a little bit justified. I had a roast beef, extra thin, a little pesto on it, and a little extra mozzarella, a little oil and vinegar. And instead of going for the soda, I went for the water. Didn't really go for the chips today. Didn't go for the rice ball, but a good sandwich. Really good. Let's see. This guy said, I paid $300 for those jerseys. See, that's a you problem. That's not a me problem. I mean, I'm also with the – I've never really been a big jersey guy. I just haven't – I've been more of a hoodie guy, hat guy. You know, I just – jerseys have never really been my thing. Now, when I used to go to the Jet games, this is Kotite and this is Parcells, my goal all the time. I had a Corbett jersey, and I got it made at Cosby's right by the Garden, and it was an authentic one, and it was white with the green lettering. And like, I don't know what I was thinking, but I eventually cut the sleeves. Oh, God almighty. I'm going into the stadium with like a do-rag on, jeez, and like black Nike batting gloves that I wore in college. I actually thought that they were going to pull me from the stands 6 beers in. Hey, you want to play? Wow. That's one of the only jerseys I've really rocked. And I don't even know where it's probably my mom and dad somewhere. What else? Let me see if I can see one good comment here. I don't see anything yet. You know, some interesting observations. Listen, I not trying to dodge the elephant in the room here. I do see a lot of the references to what's going on with the fan. I appreciate that. And by the way, I felt the love, man. Sam and I both have felt the love. I'm going to get into this more. I've got some shows to do. I think my last show will be, for the midday with Sal. I think I'm going to December 19th. With that, But yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to be the end of that, which sucks because I love the show, but I'll expand on that in a different medium at a different time. But I didn't want to let you guys think about seeing them. Of course I do. And, you know, I have looked at the phone a lot this week, and I've always been, not that I was always like this. There was definitely a point. And I remember when I was younger, like when, I'll just be totally honest with you, when Raceman would needle me when I was young, when I was at 1050, and he would always take these shots at me. I'm like, why the fuck does this guy always do this? Like, I'm on the air, I'm bringing some passion, you know, I'm bringing the juice. Why does he slam me every time? And it bothered me. Like, it actually got under my skin. And then you get to a point where I think you're desensitized to it. Certainly you get married, you have kids, you realize that means nothing. It means zero. So, you know, all the good, I'm talking about before the news with Craig and all that stuff this week, all the tweets, all the IG stuff, like when FAN posts something, you know, you see the emojis, bald clowns, and there's a lot of good stuff too. Don't get me wrong. But I have learned long ago to don't even look at it that much. And if I stumble upon something or one of my buddies shows me something, sends me something, it doesn't bother me at all because I know who I am, you know, I know what I'm true to. But there was a point where that bothered me, you know, and so and I'm also not one to go out and search for affirmation. Like, I really don't. Like, I'm not just going to go and look for positive comments about me. But I did get a lot of stuff, even a lot of messages on Instagram that were, I mean, it took me a long time to get through them. And I read them, and that meant something. Like, that, I'm not going to front on that. The negative stuff, you're either with me or you're not. That's fine. If you're fairly neutral, hopefully along the way, I will or I have convinced you to be a fan, to not, if you agree with everything, that's fine, but kind of roll with me here. But it's meant a lot because I know that you guys know the deal. And I think that you guys know that we brought it every day and we're proud of that. But different time, different form. It's all good. I'm in a good place. I'm in a good place mentally. So let me bounce. Let me see. What's going on? I go to batting cage tonight. What time's he getting back from basketball practice? Yeah, maybe I'll go do a little hitting tonight. Maybe watch a movie with the fireplace on, Christmas trees up. Hopefully you guys are having a good start to the holiday season. And we are on the fan tomorrow. All right, so make sure you listen tomorrow. I'm not sure how long Sal's going to do it. I don't know. That's something that he's going through, which I respect and I love him. I do. I've grown to love that guy. And trust him. And I know that he feels the same way. But I don't know when his last show is going to be. I'm just telling you when mine is going to be. But we'll be on tomorrow. So tune in. Hey, listen, spread it out there. Apple, Spotify, get the word out. Obviously, the visual element is a cool thing. But tell your friends, you know, whether it's out in Cali, wherever they might be. You know, we got calls from Australia this week. So with all these apps, clearly, you can connect to anybody in any part of the world. So if you know a Jets fan who doesn't have access to this, that wants access to hopefully intelligent, real Jets talk, let them know, man. Send them a link to the YouTube, to the show, and let them know where to find us. Catch tomorrow at 10 on the Fan. Have an awesome rest of your Sunday night. Happy early holidays. I'll see you tomorrow, guys. Thank you.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.